The reading is from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 and 24. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things are built up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor.
We have been in a little series of lessons about obeying what Jesus called the first and greatest commandment, loving God with all we have. Our question has been, what does that mean? What does that involve? And what do I do to obey that command? And so I hope the lessons that we've shared have been helpful in answering those questions, at least to some degree. And today is the last message that I have planned for this series, although when March begins, not too long from now, Lord willing, we are going to start considering the second greatest command that Jesus talked about, and looking forward to that. I want to begin with our text this morning. Maybe you've noticed that several of these lessons have come from the first letter of John. John sometimes is called the Apostle of Love. And so today's sermon comes from 1 John chapter 4, and particularly verses 20 and 21 is where we'll drill down a little bit. But I thought that we would begin by reading the context, going back to verse 13 through verse 21. So let's look at those verses together for a moment. John writes, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." I hope it's apparent from those last two verses the point of the message this morning concerning what it means to love God. There was a mouse that looked through a crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife opening up a package. Mouse's thought was, what might it contain? What food might be there? He was aghast to discover that it was a mouse trap. Retreating to the farmyard, the mouse proclaimed the warning: "There's a mouse trap in the house! There's a mouse trap in the house!" And the chicken clucked and scratched, raised her head and said, "Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it is of no consequence to me. I can't be bothered." The mouse turned to the pig and told him, there's a mouse trap in the house." "I am so very sorry, Mr. Mouse," sympathized the pig, "but there's nothing I can think of to do about it. Surely someone else will step in to help you." The mouse then turned to the cow, who replied, "Like wow, Mr. Mouse, a mouse trap? Am I in grave danger? Duh. So the mouse returned to the house, head down and dejected, to face the farmer's mousetrap alone. That very night, a sound was heard throughout the house like the sound of a mousetrap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she did not see that it was a venomous snake whose tail the trap had caught. The snake bit the farmer's wife. The farmer rushed her to the hospital. She returned home, but with a fever. Now, everyone knows that you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard for the soup's main ingredient. His wife's sickness continued so that friends and neighbors came to sit with her around the clock. To feed them, the farmer butchered the pig. The farmer's wife did not get well. In fact, she died. And so many people came for her funeral, the farmer had the cow slaughtered to provide meat for all of them to eat. So the next time you hear that someone's facing a problem and think that it does not concern you, remember that when the least of us is threatened, we're all at risk. G.K. Chesterton is credited with saying, "All people matter. You matter. I matter. It's the hardest thing in religion to believe." There's a little brief verse that goes like this. To dwell with saints we love, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be grace and glory. To live below with saints we know, that's another story. And yet, John, apostle of Jesus, inspired of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words: "Whoever loves God must also love his brother." In fact, the entire quote, verses 20 and 21, 1 John 4, once again is this. He wrote, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." So we learn today, or perhaps are reminded today, that part of loving God is loving the brethren, fellow believers, other Christians, yes, other members of the church, this church included. And for some, this might be the toughest part of loving God, sadly. Understanding who God is and what he has done for them in Christ Jesus, no problem. Understanding that God is love, a-okay. Obeying God's commands, yep, they get the importance of that. Not loving the world, check. Loving God through true worship every week, every Lord's Day, in their place during worship. But love the brethren? That can get messy. That is tough. And some struggle with this aspect of loving God. Some, in fact, don't really love God, despite their claims and protestations to the contrary. They don't really love God because they really just don't love their brethren. Now, what do we mean by love the brethren? You know, part of me hesitates to define it because I really think deep down that we know exactly what it means. I think we know what it means. It doesn't mean to have warm, fuzzy feelings about the brethren, although that would be nice, and it could certainly help. Love is not the same as like. It doesn't mean that you're best friends with every other brother or sister in Christ. That every person that you run into in the church is just exactly your type of person. No, love is something different. Love is, I put you before me. Love is, I serve you. Love is a proper prioritizing of another. You know, God, if I understand the gospel, made me his priority when he sent his son to die for me. And that means to be like God, I am willing to put you before me. I was always deeply impressed growing up by the way I was taught the word joy. We had a fleet of joy buses in the congregation I grew up in that we used to bring children to worship from the inner city of Canton, Ohio. And one reason we called them joy buses is the word joy was plastered all over those buses inside and out. And I remember, in particular, on the back of the bus was this acrostic of the word joy. You probably know it. It's an acrostic that emphasizes priorities. And it's this: Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And not only is that a good definition of joy, but it's a great definition of how to love the brethren. For how can we love God without this? See, lack of such love is a clear sign of not loving God. How can we love God whom we have not seen if we do not love our brothers and sisters whom we have seen? It is what we're talking about is a whole lot more than saying, I love you. You know, we all know that from practical experience, don't we? That loving a person is a whole lot more than saying, I love you. Loving God is a whole lot more than saying, I love God. John specifically says that here in verse 20. Think of the first set of brothers in the world, Cain and Abel. Cain, I am sure, claimed to love God. He offered God worship. He acknowledged God. He believed in God. But Cain did not love God. Now, how do I know that? Because he hated his brother. And he killed his brother. I don't know if you've heard the name Jerome before, at least the one I'm talking about. He's what scholars call an early church father. Well, that just means he was a leader in the church in the early days. He lived from about 350 AD to about 400 AD. He was an incredible Bible scholar. He was a translator of the Scriptures, highly educated, had immense influence on the church. Jerome told a story about the Apostle John. Now, John, of course, lived a long time before Jerome. A few centuries separate them. But here's the story that Jerome told. Jerome says that John, living in Ephesus in his extreme old age, would be carried with difficulty to the church by his disciples, to the assembly of the church. And he had very little strength. He was not able to go before the brethren and give a sermon of any length. In fact, as the story goes, all he could do was say, "Let us love one another." Well, after a period of time of this truth, the disciples and the other members of the church who were there sort of wearied of this being his only word of exhortation. And he was asked, "Master, why do you always say this?" And he replied, "Because it is the Lord's command. And if that alone is done, it suffices." I don't know if that story is true from a few centuries after John, but it certainly would be true to John's words that we have read today in God's Word. How important it is to love the brethren. Do we? Do you? All of them? Even the ones that are hard to love? Oh, not them, preacher. Not that guy. Not her. You know what they're like? Yeah, I know. I know exactly what they're like. I've been in the church for 49 years. I was in the church the first Sunday I was alive. I've been in this congregation for coming up on 23 years. I know what they're like. But we cannot love God if we don't love the brothers and sisters. You know, some of us are very quiet. Some are very loud. How do we respond? Let us love one another. Some have a lot of money. Some have very little. How do we relate? Let us love one another. Some do a lot, some not so much. How do we get along? Let us love one another. Some have been married forever, and some marriages have failed. Can we go to church together? Let us love one another. Some are just so meek and polite and kind, and some are rough and gruff and rude. How do we relate? Let us love one another. Some are easy to love, and some ain't. How do we deal with that? Let us love one another. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let us love the brethren and so love our God. Let's pray. Holy Father, we do proclaim our love for you, and we want to make that real by loving one another. Thank you for showing us the way and help us to be better followers. And even today, as we are conveniently together, help us to love one another and put others first and serve one another. And let our brothers and sisters know how we care for them. Thank you for your Son, for what he has done for each one of us. And we ask for opportunities this week to share your love in Christ with others. Thank you for hearing us. We pray this in Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening. This morning, we're going to stand in a moment. Jay's going to lead us in a song. If you need to come before this body and perhaps confess wrong and be restored to your faith in your relationship with Christ, we invite you to come and do that. We'll pray with you about that, and we will love you. If you need to make your first commitment to Christ and obey the gospel of Christ this morning and be baptized into him, it'd be a wonderful celebration to be a part of. And if we can help you and minister to you in some way, we're taking a time now for you to respond. Please let us know what your need is while together we stand, we sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep he sank.